Let's read together now in the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 10 at verse 5. Matthew 10 verse 5. And this is on page 975 in the Pew Bible. 975. Matthew 10 at verse 5. We're working our way through this chapter 10 in the Gospel, which reminds us of the first major mission that the disciples undertook on their own, trying to grasp some of the principles of this mission that might be helpful to us today. And tonight the theme will be how it was all worked out, having been modelled by Jesus himself. So we begin at verse 5 and we'll read through to verse 16. Reading from verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey or extra tunic or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there. And stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that town. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Thanks be to God for his word. And may he enable us to embrace it in the depths of our being. Now let us pray. God, our Father, we ask that you would incline our minds and our hearts towards the great truths in your words. We pray that you would touch our hearts to your truth and enable us to see more clearly those patterns of service that were effective in the days of your disciples, but we believe can be effective in our own time as we seek to reach out to the world with your truth and with your love. Amen. Monday of last week was the 4th of May, and it's become known as Star Wars Day for many people. You know, may the 4th be with you. I know, it's pretty awful, isn't it? But May the 5th is a very significant day as well. That was Tuesday of last week. May the 5th was the date of my ordination. And I've lost count of how many years ago that was. But if you've ever attended the ordination of a minister, you'll know that at some point in the service, a charge is given. That involves, it involved standing and listening to a senior minister who would outline, who would emphasize to me certain aspects of the job that lay before me, and also to give some words of encouragement. The idea of standing through the whole of the charge is a reminder to you that ultimately you're not receiving the charge from any human being, that the charge you are given for ministry is from God himself, and you wouldn't even think to sit in his presence. Now, like a lot of meaningful things from the past, I'm afraid that particular tradition has fallen by the wayside. Ministers who are ordained usually in the Church of Scotland anyway are allowed to sit while the charge is given. And I regret that, but of course I'm just an old fogey these days. But there was something very powerful about the symbolism, to stand while you were reminded from on high of whose you were and whom you were called to serve. There's absolutely no doubt, as Jesus' disciples are preparing for mission, from whom their charge is coming. Jesus has modeled for them what mission is all about in his very person. And now he is sending them out to follow that particular pattern of mission. And he emphasizes to them that just as in his ministry, so it will be in their mission, that they have a particular focus, that there be a particular focus with them in their work. He says to them, go rather, at verse 6, go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Now that might strike us as being particularly narrow, perhaps prejudicial in some way, especially when we understand that Jesus was always open to Gentiles, those who were outside the Jewish faith. Indeed, he was also open to the Samaritans, people who were regarded as heretics by Orthodox Jews. Jesus had good relationships with people in all categories of human life at his time. But what he's saying now might strike us as being a bit odd, in that he's saying that the priority for the disciples at this particular point was to go to the lost sheep of Israel, to go, in effect, to their own people. Now, there is a sense in which that might not be surprising, in that these are the people who in the past have received God's word. These are the people in the past who've enjoyed a special relationship with God. They have been prepared for that moment when out of their community the Messiah will arise. So perhaps it's only right that they be given the first opportunity to respond to Jesus. But on the other hand, surely it's not that strange that a particular group should be prioritized at this particular moment in the mission of the church. You think back to the days of the Reformation in Scotland, when the burden of the reformers was for Scotland, and nobody would ever want to argue with that priority at that particular time. And we've come across people in our experience, surely, who've had as the real burden of their hearts their own city, which they might see drifting further and further away from faith in the Lord Jesus. And we've surely come across people, and there are people in our own congregation whose hearts and minds are perhaps focused on a particular group of people. You know, there's times when I'm given opportunity to speak to the Stauros group, which ministers specifically to people with addiction problems. Now, there's a priority group. We have representatives in our own congregation who are involved with prison fellowship, focusing on the needs of those who are in prison. We have others who have a burden for the homeless and the dispossessed, and the Channon Trust, and Glasgow City Mission, and other. There's so many, and I'm sorry if I'm leaving out any particular groups. These are just to emphasize that sometimes it is acceptable, and it perhaps is fruitful for us to focus on a particular group, as long as that is seen as part of the worldwide mission of the church, crossing every kind of boundary. But there's something else here that I think we have to keep on board. It's sometimes pointed out, and it's one of those things that would perhaps just not grab my attention immediately, but in telling the disciples not to go among the Gentiles or to enter a town of the Samaritans, that geographically Jesus is putting limits on the mission of his disciples at this moment. In fact, if you work it all out according to the map of Palestine at that time, what Jesus is asking his disciples to do is to begin the mission in their own neighborhood, in a sense where everybody knows their name. And that's always a very difficult thing to do, to bear our Christian witness where we are. I was quite inspired and in some ways rebuked by a conversation I had with a colleague just this week, when he was telling me that he had actually issued invitations to everybody that lived in his street to join him for an informal Bible study. And if they couldn't come at a particular time, he would make arrangements to see them individually if that were appropriate. Now that's bold. It's adventurous. And I'm praying that it will have some fruit for him. But he's bearing witness where he is. And that was the focus that in the end Jesus wanted his disciples to have. But he also reminded them of the substance of the mission which he himself had modeled. And we see at verse 7 what this is all about. He said, "As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." You have something that the world needs, says Jesus to his disciples. You have received this from me. You have experienced the power of the word. You have experienced the power that's able to heal and to cleanse. Now take that out into the world and make a difference. You have a message. You have a message that beneath the surface, the brokenness of this world, the kingdom of God is advancing. Advancing towards that day when all things will be made new. You take that message into the world and enable people to realize that there is hope. That God's truth is marching on. That God has plans, ultimate plans, even for this fallen creation. But not just to take that message out, also to show the kingdom in areas of need. That's where the power of the Holy Spirit comes into being. Wherever there is brokenness, wherever there's disappointment, wherever there's disillusionment, that's where the church should be, supporting, encouraging, showing people that even in the worst of times, there is hope. That's the balance that Jesus had in his own ministry. And this is the mission. He's calling his disciples to work out in their own way. We've all had experience, or at least through our children, of show and tell. You know, they're allowed to take something along to school and to show the class something that's really precious to them and important to them. They're allowed to show it and to tell how important this is to them. Now, Jesus is reversing that in a certain way. You go out and you tell, but you also show. That balance is important. You know, it's sometimes attributed to Francis of Assisi that he sent out his followers and said to them, "Go out and preach the gospel and use words if necessary." Now, that's usually used when people want to, if you like, emphasize our actions as Christians rather than our words. But there's absolutely no evidence that Francis actually said that. You know, it's, if we've had experience of words being put in our mouths, that's certainly something that's been put in the mouth of Francis of Assisi. In his ministry, if you actually read about it, there was no imbalance between telling and showing. Francis knew the importance of telling the story of Jesus. He even would practice telling the story of Jesus to the birds and to the animals that he gathered round about him. And he wanted his followers to go out into the world and to tell that story, but also to show the power of God's truth and his love in the broken areas of the world. Always that balance had to be struck. Tell the people, but show the people that the kingdom is advancing. And there was also discipline. Jesus, in showing his disciples how mission had to be worked out, there was always going to be personal discipline involved in this. And we can see that from verse 9, where Jesus says, "Do not take along as you're working out your mission. Don't take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey. Take no extra tunic or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worthy of his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you." This was going to be a very demanding period for the disciples as they experienced mission. And it was going to demand some personal discipline on their part. And Jesus calls them here to live lightly to material things, not to become too attached to things that might drag them down in some way. When you read the things that Jesus warns them against, there's actually nothing very wrong about any of these items in themselves. Gold or silver is necessary if they were going to buy food. Copper in their belts, it was all something that you couldn't really do without for any kind of quality of living. What was wrong with taking a bag or an extra tunic or sandals or a staff? The thing was that in the particular context that they were going to be living and moving, these things were inappropriate. There was nothing that should in any way drag them down. Their focus had to be entirely upon the work at hand. They had to live lightly to material things. So for this moment, these things were deemed to be inappropriate. You know, if you go into a gym, you'll usually find on the wall somewhere that there are rules for that particular gym. And one of the things that's always very important is that you have the right kit. So if you turn up wearing two pullovers, an overcoat, tackety boots and a rucksack for the gym, the least that will happen is that somebody will probably ask you what you're at. At worst, you'll probably be asked to leave. Now, there's nothing wrong with any of these things if you're walking about on a night like this. It's just not appropriate for the gym. And Jesus is laying down a principle for his disciples at this particular moment, that if they're going to be effective in mission, then their focus has to be on this substance, this telling and this showing, and they have to live lightly to material things. But there is a message here for all of us at this moment with regard to the things that might burden us to the extent that we become less effective as Christian witnesses. You know, Paul says that when we approach the Lord's table, this is a moment to examine ourselves. to look within ourselves and to get in touch with those things that might be getting in the way of a clear and powerful Christian witness. And one of the great aspirations, surely, for all of us is what the Apostle Paul was able to proclaim at one point in his life when he said that he knew now the secret of being content. Whether well fed or hungry, whether free or in prison, he knew the secret of being content. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And isn't that what the disciples are being called to prove at this particular moment? That the success of this mission will be in trusting in the Lord Jesus and not in any material thing which might clutter up their inner being. Is there anything in my life that needs to go? Is there anything in your life that needs to go? It sounds that it might be a wrench, but if the wrench means better service to the Lord Jesus, then surely we will be given grace to let it go. And I think that is really what's behind that rather very strange instruction that Jesus gives about hospitality when he's advising his disciples with regard to their conduct when they're staying with someone in a particular house. He's telling them to be content with what they have, not to be comparing the kinds of hospitality that each one is receiving at that particular moment, not to be discontented with what they are receiving. And he says, as you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, if it's been a positive experience, let your peace rest on it. And if it's not, let your peace return to you. In other words, he's not telling his disciples to curse the house just because the breakfast was maybe inadequate, but just to be at peace, to let the peace return to you. And if you've had any problem with the hospitality, just let it go. Contentment with what we have is important in the life of witness. So discipline was called upon in the lives of the disciples. And also, Jesus issues a warning. He says to his men, if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that town. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Now there's a prospect for you as Jesus sends his disciples out on mission. Basically, he's saying it's a jungle out there. There are wolves. There's going to be resistance to the message that you proclaim. And that might seem a bit strong when you think about the reality of people just not accepting the message of the gospel. But Jesus regards that as being a serious thing. If people are clenching their hearts against the truth of God's message to the world, that has to be regarded as something serious. He's always emphasizing how important it is for people to listen and to cover up against the truth and to react against that is something that has to be regarded as a major item in people's lives. Now, there's a sense in which Jesus is constantly warning his disciples that this will always be. What is the parable of the sower about? It's about words, in a sense, that are wasted. It's only in a very small part of the field that the seed takes root and begins to grow. But he's warning them that when they go out into the mission field, there will be resistance to the message that they preach. And they have to be prepared for this. And he prescribes a very dramatic response to this. In verse 14, it says, "If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town." You know, that was a custom of the Jewish people in those days. If they'd strayed into Gentile territory, or even worse, into Samaritan territory, when they realized that this is what they'd done, as soon as they'd moved out of that territory, they would take off their sandals and wipe the dust off their feet. Nothing that could be construed as Gentile influence was allowed to cling to them. These were the people in darkness, and they were publicly proclaiming the fact that nothing about them was clinging to them. But what Jesus is saying to his disciples is that even when you're going amongst the lost sheep of Israel and they are resisting the message, then they have to be treated just as they themselves would treat Gentiles. That what they have done is not just choosing between options. What they have done is to resist the very word of God, which is coming through Jesus, his son. And along with this dramatic response that Jesus prescribes is a pronouncement of judgment, that it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for those towns that resist the message. That's hard for us to read. Hard for us to regard any talk of the judgment of God as being a difficult thing for us to accept. But what we do have to accept is that it's a serious thing to resist the gospel. But for the disciples, they get on with the work and they leave that to God. They're going amongst the people of their time as sheep amongst wolves. And you think to yourself, what chance do they have? But Jesus gives them the assurance that they will be able to cope if they're as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be aware of the world around you and all the tricks and all the deceptions and all the challenges. Be aware of that. Study the world. But also retain your faith in this gospel that can make a difference to all that. That's what it means to be as shrewd as a snake and as innocent as a dove. Trust me, says Jesus. Going out into this jungle, you can survive if you remember that I am with you. If you remember that I can give you the resources to cope and to make a difference. Now let's pray. God, our Father, we ask that you would enable us as your people in our own time to realize the mission that you have given us. And like the disciples of old, to be constantly aware of our focus, to be close to the substance of our mission, to exercise discipline, and to know that the challenge is great, but we can cope if you are with us as our model and our strength. We ask this for your name's sake. Amen.